Okay, hi, this is John Gabriel with the Gabriel Method and the Gabriel Method Detox Program. Welcome to the second day of the cleanse. And today we're going to be focusing on detoxifying your home and your bath. As you know, I'm also joined in the program with Nadia Harper, a detoxification expert and Gabriel Method coach. And today we're also joined by Janine Oliver, a member of the Gabriel Method team. Last year, Janine was diagnosed with stage 3 chronic kidney disease. She decided to use her love of food and cooking to take her life back into her own hands. Determined to heal herself, gain energy, and live a long, healthy life, Janine graduated from the Integrative Institute of Nutrition as a certified holistic health coach. Feeling better than ever, Janine now focuses on helping others heal themselves through a holistic and healthy lifestyle approach. Janine did a lot of work on this particular webinar, a lot of research on the best ways to eliminate common household toxins and find alternatives. So Nadia and Janine, thanks very much for joining us.
Hi, John. Thank you.
Great. So Janine, you're doing the cleanse too, is that correct?
I am. Day one is pretty much complete now.
And how do you feel?
I feel okay. I think in the morning I thought that it was going to be really challenging, and by midday I felt fine, and around 3 o'clock I started to feel a little bit of a headache, and I've been feeling a little bit, not 100%, but I still feel okay, and I've only felt a little bit of hunger, but besides that I just keep drinking some juices and broths and adding some chia seeds and things like that, so I'm doing okay so far.
Excellent. So your experiences are typical of what I've had and what many people have had in a cleanse. And Nadia, would you say the same, that that's a typical day one reaction? What do you think?
Yeah, I really do think so, especially that part about the headache in the afternoon. I hear that from a lot of people, and I experience that myself.
Headaches, weakness, dizziness, these are all day one and day two reactions. Do you find, Nadia, your experience is that after day two, those type of symptoms tend to go away, or what do you find?
Yeah, for a lot of people, it takes about 30 hours for your body to switch into detox mode, so that's the first couple of days where all of that is happening, and that's when a lot of the symptoms can come on their strongest. So you want to be very, very gentle with yourself, support yourself as much as possible these first couple days.
Right. Okay. Well, we're going to get a lot of questions today and tomorrow, I'm sure, that are very similar to that. So what I want to do is I want to bring Dan in just to ask a couple of questions now, and then we'll get started into the webinar. So, Aaron, if we could have Dan, please.
Hi, everybody.
Dan, hi.
Yes. Hi. Okay, we have a question here from Mira. She's just asking a question about cucumbers, lemons, and apples. The produce is organic, but they feel like they are waxed. Is it okay to juice them whole, or do they need to be peeled? If leaving them whole is okay, soaking in apple cider vinegar recommended, or does it not make a difference?
Yeah, I would think they're okay. Nadia, what do you think?
Yeah, if they're organic, I would think they're okay as well, and you can still soak them in apple cider vinegar if you'd like.
Yeah, okay. Then?
And Mira also asks a question about bowel movements. Her second bowel movement today was liquid. Is this normal? Should I be concerned? And can you suggest what I could change if it isn't normal?
Okay. Nadia?
That's completely normal. I've experienced that, and I see that with a lot of people going through cleanses. Your body is, you're taking in a lot of liquid, and your body is starting to flush.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah. Suzanne asks, regarding the Green Me Up Johnny, is it a good idea to take additional probiotics as well?
Okay. I personally think there are probiotics in Green Me Up Johnny, but you can't go wrong with probiotics during a cleanse, and especially after a cleanse. That's my opinion. You don't want to go overboard on anything, but if you want to take a probiotic during the cleanse, I would suggest that if you do want to take probiotics, take them maybe once in the morning and once in the evening, and if it's a capsule, open the capsule and let the powder, mix the powder with some sort of liquid. Don't swallow the capsule, because the capsule, breaking down the capsule, is going to be a little bit too much work for your digestion, unnecessary work. So have it in a powdered form. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, that's a really nice idea, opening up the capsule like that. That would work really well.
Okay. Do you think that she should take, there's some probiotics in the Green Me Up Johnny's, which she's asking, do you think she needs more probiotics in addition to that?
And I agree with what you said. Probiotics are very helpful while you're cleansing. So even though there are some in Green Manjani, you can certainly take more. And I like your suggestion of taking, you know, one in the morning and one in the evening. That would work really well. It's not necessary, but if people want to do that, it would be nice.
Excellent. You know, for the record, everybody, Nadia and I don't always agree on everything, but we seem to be in sync on a lot of things these last couple of days, so that's great. Okay, Dan?
Marisol and Suzanne ask a question about the amount of oil to be having. Marisol says, should I be worried and have oil with every drink or meal? Please provide parameters we should be aware of when it comes to the omega-3s. For example, can you use too much fat? And Suzanne asks how much she loves the Green Me Up Johnny juice together with the ground chia and flax seeds and cinnamon. How much is too much?
What do you think, Dan?
Oh, so for the omega-3 shakes where you're adding in the ground flax and the chia seeds, we've put two of those into the schedule. But especially these first couple days, if you wanted to have one or two more, I think that would be fine to support your body. Aside from the ground flax and ground chia, we're also recommending that you can do a tablespoon of flax oil, hemp oil, or chia seed oil. And that's another way to get those omegas in. And again, you could do that a couple times a day. And these first couple of days, if you wanted to add in one more, that would be fine. Do you agree with that, John?
Okay, so suppose they don't want to take the – I don't want to confuse people also. So suppose they don't want to take the flax or the hemp or as an oil or the chia seed oil. Suppose they just want to do the chia seed drink. That's fine, right?
Definitely. Yep.
Okay.
I misunderstood the question. Yep, that's fine.
Yeah, because the way we designed the program, it's sort of like one or the other. If you don't want to take the chia seeds as a drink, you can just take a tablespoon of chia seed oil or flaxseed oil or hemp seed oil. But we also have coconut oil that we're taking with teas. Can we go overboard with that? Now, this lady's saying she's taking them with every meal. What are your thoughts on that?
I would suggest keeping it to about twice a day, maybe three times at the most a day, because you are taking in a lot with the omega-3 oils as well as the coconut oils. So I think that what we put in the schedule is probably a really nice thing to follow. And like I said, these first couple days, you can add in, you know, one extra one, but I wouldn't really go too far beyond that.
Okay, so just to be clear, because I agree with that, just to be clear, as a good guideline, if you're having two chia shakes a day and or two tablespoons of chia flax or hemp oil a day, one or the other, and two teas with coconut oil a day, that's a good guideline. The first couple of days, if you feel you need more, then by all means, whatever you need. What you'll find after the first couple of days is you're not going to want more, because your body's going to settle down a lot and get more into the cleanse mode. So, okay, Dan?
Marisol also asks, she's actually started menstruating today, and normally gets really bad cramps on day one and two, and normally takes Advil to make it through. She doesn't want to take Advil, obviously, because she's really enjoying completely detoxifying. Are there any natural properties of veggies or natural supplements that I can turn to help with the pain?
The juices that you're doing, all of the things that you're doing during the cleanse will help with the premenstrual and menstrual symptoms. And I found that myself as well. Something that also works really nice with cramps is if you have a hot water bottle, warm that up and put that right over your abdomen area. And I find that to be very soothing.
Thank you.
But just the flushing that you're doing will help.
Yeah. Marisol also asks about weight loss. Naturally, our bodies will likely release some weight during the course of these 5 days. What might we expect on day six when we introduce solids into our diet? Is it natural for us to gain some of that weight back the first week after the cleanse? Please advise on the weight portion of this cleanse and what we can do to keep the momentum going even after we get back into pre-cleanse sort of diet.
Yeah, that's a great question. And we're going to be focusing on that a lot during the last two webinars. Now, it is typical to lose some weight. It's typical, a lot of it's water weight, and a lot of it you'll gain back over the following week. Maybe, in my experience, and what do you think, Nani? My experience is maybe 50% to 70, 50 to 70% of the weight that you gain usually comes back in the first week, or no?
Yeah, that can happen. Everybody does react differently. I've done cleanses where that hasn't happened. I've done cleanses where it has.
Yeah.
So it really is unique to each person. But that can be a typical thing that happens. And something that I would just like to add in is that I know weight is something that a lot of people focus on, but I just want to remind people that the goal of doing this detox program really isn't about losing weight. It's about setting up your system to function at a greater level as you move forward. So it's setting you up for long-term success. I just want to remind people of that as we
right.
go through this.
It's a great, great point. And I get the sense that most people that are doing this really understand that. Like, I don't get comments from people that I weighed myself today and I lost, a quarter of a pound. We're not getting comments like that. So I think people are really getting that. But that being said, there is things that you can do after the cleanse is over. There's specific things. What I would recommend is, and we'll talk about this later in the week, around day two or day three after the cleanse is over, you want to do some specific type of movement exercises that are specifically geared toward resetting your metabolism and jump-starting the weight loss process. And they work really, really well. The what we call the get thin or get eaten adaptation type of exercises that are actually in the GM Fitness bonus that you received in the package. So while we don't want you to use the GM Fitness exercise sessions at all this week, next week at a certain point, it would be great to use them because it'll help you keep whatever weight loss that you've had and continue the weight loss process and make it much easier. Yeah. Okay, Dan?
I've got a couple of really, this is about emotional side effects. Helen says, today I'm totally grouchy, whiny, emotional, and vulnerable today, and very sleepy.
Right.
Other than that, I'm doing okay. The broth, the creamy tea, and the juices have been great, and there's not too much hunger, just very low energy, body achy and emotional. Will I feel this emotional for the entire time, or will this improve as the week goes on?
Yeah. Go ahead, Nadia.
From my experience with helping lots of people through these types of things is that it comes in cycles. So you'll have a very strong emotional day, and the next day you might find that you release a lot physically, and it goes in waves like that. So everything is connected. So all of the emotional things that we hold on to are connected to the physical toxins that we're holding on to as well. So your body is going to release things in tandem as you go through this week. So I would suggest that you probably won't feel this emotional all week, but that it'll come in cycles.
Right. And I just want to say that, Helen, your experiences that you're having right now are very, very, very typical. You're showing every sign of the initial phases of a detox, what you experienced the first day or two of a detox. All of those things are your body's way of eliminating toxins, shutting down, going into a different state, and doing some massive, massive cleaning. So hang in there. And I'm sure that you'll find a resurgence of calmness and energy in a couple of days. So let's just get into the webinar now, and then we'll come back with some more questions in a little while. So Dan, thanks very much for that. And also, I just want to make a suggestion to people: it'd be really nice while you're making your juices and your teas, if you want to take a snapshot, just as a selfie, as we say here in Australia, just a self photo with your iPhone. And just send it in to us. We'd like to post some of the photos from around the world of everyone doing the detox on our webpage and on Facebook and in the members area, just to give a sense of community so people can connect. So if you have a nice juice that you like, take a snapshot of you drinking it, or a tea, or any thoughts that you have, send them in to us, and we can all connect that way. Cool. So let's talk about where we are now on the webinar. So we're in week two. And the cleanse phase, we're in the second webinar where we're talking about detoxifying your home and your bath and skin products and things like that. So in talking about that, basically detoxifying, we're going to talk about home, bath, what are the best options, the most inexpensive alternatives. And let's just start with home products. Before we go any further, so home products. So obviously, there's several products in our home that are highly toxic. Is that right, Janine?
Right. So unfortunately, I think we've been kind of tricked into thinking that chemical equals clean. But unfortunately, these cleaning products that are very chemical can really affect our lungs and our skin. And these products over time can affect the way that we are starting to hold toxins, and this can cause weight gain. So for home products, that also includes cleaning products. It includes body products that can also affect our skin and affect us internally because our skin absorbs whatever we put on it. And also the cooking products that we use that can affect us both internally and through our respiration.
Right. Okay, so let's start with cleaning products. Can you talk a little bit about what cleaning products we have in the house that might be toxic?
Well, unfortunately, there's a lot of them. So cleaning products includes anything from sprays, gels, liquids, bleach, and any other type of chemical cleaning product. And what happens is that we can inhale these products when we're using them, and they are absorbed through our skin. If we touch them, we don't always use gloves sometimes, and then also we breathe them in. And these chemicals, they can contain carcinogens, and that can cause or promote cancer growth, and they are endocrine disruptors. And so they throw our hormones out of balance. And if anyone's familiar with the Gabriel Method, we talk a lot about hormones and the necessity for having a hormonal balance. And then also these chemicals can have neurotoxins, which can affect brain activity. So it can be quite severe.
So basically what we're doing is we're buying all these products to make things clean and thinking that we're purifying our house, but in effect what we're doing is we're getting carcinogens, we're getting endocrine disruptors, neurotoxins, all of these things are basically throwing our bodies out of whack. Is that right?
Exactly. So we're doing more, we're cleaning the house, quote unquote, but we're making our bodies dirty, essentially.
Right. So let's talk about some of the things to avoid whenever possible.
Okay, so we really want to avoid cleaners that contain bleach, ammonia, lye, sodium hypochlorite, or triclosan. That's a big one. And these cleaners, any cleaners that contain any of the words like toxic, dangerous, warning, caution, poisonous, skin irritant, eye irritant. We see these things on labels and we don't even think about it. We just think, okay, I won't drink this, but we continue to use it and it continues to absorb through in our bodies at the same time.
Right. Basically, and you know, as Nadia said many times, anything you touch is going to go into your body. So we're touching these products not only when we're cleaning, but also when the residues on the table or on the counter, on our plates or on our floors, we're interacting with these chemicals all the time. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about some green alternatives. And I know, Nadia, you know a lot about different green alternatives. Maybe we can start talking about what we can use for cleaning our home instead of all of these dangerous chemicals.
Nadia, yeah, there's a lot of things. Sure, Janine. There's a lot of things you can use. I'll let Janine go into detail on some of this stuff, but what we clean our entire home with is what's listed here. Lemon juice, apple cider vinegar. Actually, we use white vinegar to clean our home. Baking soda, Castile soap, essential oils with antibacterial properties. And then you can find some really great green cleaners on the market. You just need to really look at the ingredients and research the product line to make sure that they are really green.
So how do you use these products then?
So in our home, we use I make all my own cleaners, and it really is very, very simple. So when I say I make my own cleaners, it can be as simple as just putting some vinegar in a spray bottle and a few drops of essential oil, and that's a cleaner that I use. We're going to go into how to specifically make some other cleaners, but that's a very, very simple idea. It's cheap. It's effective, and it really, really works, and it doesn't add toxins to your home.
Okay.
I agree with Nadia. That's what I use, too.
Okay, great. And Janine, what's Castile soap?
Castile soap, it actually comes from Spain, and it's a really basic, simple, non-toxic soap. Some people prefer to use it because it can be more sudsy. It can give you the bubbles that we all kind of love and enjoy. And it's a universal soap, so you can use it to not only wash your hair, but you can also use it to wash your clothes and wash the counters, pretty much anything between. And you can usually buy it in bulk as well, so it can go a long way.
Right. And what about going to the health food store and looking for healthy cleaners? Is that a good way to do it, or is it kind of an expensive way to do it?
I think it's a good way to transition. I think it's I think that when I started doing this process, I went a bit overboard and I just wanted to do everything super eco-friendly, and I didn't want to use any plastics or plastic bottles, and so I just went really, really basic. And then I started to get a bit tired. So occasionally, if I run out of time or I just need to clean something, I have a cleaner that I bought from a health food store that is eco-friendly. And so I have it on hand. I try not to use it because it is more expensive. And, I mean, why break the bank? But I think it's a really good transition, especially for people who really like the smells. And it's a nice, simple transition to make.
Okay, so we're going to talk about some ideas for healthy cleaners in a little while. But let's talk about some of the other toxic things that we might find in a household. So drain cleaners.
Drain cleaners are the worst.
If you think about what they do, I mean, in order to clean a drain, you got to be a pretty strong chemical.
Exactly. So they pretty much just break everything down except for the drain and the metal tube. So, I mean, it's really strong stuff. And if it gets on your skin, it can burn your skin. They always put notices that don't rub your eyes, don't touch your eyes. It can burn your eyes. So, I mean, this is really, really tough stuff. And the fumes are known irritants to the eyes, nose, throat, and into the lungs. So lots of people who already have asthma or any other kind of ear, nose, and throat condition, this can be really, really bad for the system. And also just for the environment, when we put this into our drains, it goes out into the world, and it can threaten the water quality as well as the fish and the wildlife. And, I mean, if we want to eat fish and those omega-3s, we need to make sure to keep our water safe.
It's a great point that everything that we're putting down, all these chemicals that we're flushing down our sinks, end up in the fish that we eat. I mean, that's a really important point, and we don't really think about that. Let's talk about toilet bowl cleaners, if we can, Janine.
This is another top one to avoid. So if you're still going to use commercial cleaners and stuff, these are kind of some of the ones that you should definitely avoid. And toilet bowl cleaners are the other one. Unfortunately, we can become very addicted to these because they smell clean and great, but the fumes that we're breathing in, again, they can really affect our nose, throat, lungs, and eyes. And but we can still clean our toilet bowls and make it sparkly without this. So there's definitely lots of alternatives. There's eco-friendly cleaners and simple. There's a great trick to put vinegar in a bottle, and you put a hole in the bottle and you put it upside down and you stick it in the tank. And that little bit of vinegar every time you flush can maintain a clean toilet bowl.
You know, you bring up a great point, Janine, and something that we'd never even think about is that pleasant-smelling chemical fumes or perfumes are actually toxic, and they go right into your brain. And nobody thinks about that. They think, oh, it smells like lemon. Well, it's a chemical toxin designed. It's a chemical that molecularly is shaped like lemon, so it goes into your brain. When your olfactory nerve hits it, because of the shape of the molecule, they think, oh, lemon, but the molecule could be the most toxic thing in the world. It's going right into your brain. I think we don't even think about that.
And it's a real emotional connection as well. Think this is a great thing during the detox to really analyze your emotional connections to all of these things, because we use them because we want to feel something. We want to feel that the toilet bowl is clean. We want to feel that the drain is clean and all of these things. But it's a real emotional sense and through this brain chemistry that you're talking about. So if we still want that, we still want to make it have the gel in the bowl. There's definitely some do-it-yourself solutions. And so, for example, if you just take half a teaspoon of xanthan gum, half a teaspoon of glycerin, one cup water, and half a cup white vinegar, and you mix it together, it can give you that gel. You can put it in your bowl, let it sit, and it'll clean it just the same. So right. You can always add some essential oils for smell.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. You know, Nadia, I know you do a lot with essential oils in your cleaning products and in a lot of the healing work that you do. What type of essential oils do you think are good for creating that fresh, scenty, clean home smell and when we're creating home cleaning products?
Lemon essential oil is really, really nice, and another one of my favorites is lemongrass essential oil. So these give us that lemony scent that a lot of us are very conditioned to associating with store-bought cleaners, and so it really gives you that, it gives your home that scent that everybody is familiar with. Those are two that I use quite a lot.
And you put like a couple of drops in it, is that what you do?
Yeah, you need to get a good quality essential oil, and a little bit goes a very long way. So you really only need a few drops in a bottle.
And what about things like maybe peppermint or vanilla even? What do you think of that?
Yeah, you know, any of those scents that you like, as long as you're using a good quality essential oil, it's going to have those antibacterial properties to it. And there are a wide range of them available. So whatever scent you like that feels great in your home, you can use those.
Okay, cool. So Janine, what about oven cleaners?
Oven cleaners, this is the last big one that we should definitely try to avoid whenever possible. And if you think about it, if you clean your oven with these toxic substances and then you cook something in it, then whatever you put in your oven is going to end up in your food and in your body. And
let's take it a step further. You're putting these highly toxic chemicals into your oven, then you're putting your food in, then you're heating it, which makes chemical exchanges easier to happen, and then so you know a lot of that stuff that's there, it's in the air, it's going to get absorbed into your food. You know, people, I personally didn't even think of that, but that's tremendous.
Yes, definitely. And so one of the top ingredients in oven cleaners is lye. And it's very caustic. And because, for example, when you cook a lot in the oven and things start to crust and stick, you really need something really strong to get it up. And so people have gone to lye. And this can actually inhibit your reflexes. It can also cause severe tissue damage if it's swallowed. So this is something that we definitely want to avoid at all costs.
Sure.
And so what I find is that salt, simple salt, and all you have to do is heat your oven to 125 degrees Fahrenheit or 50 degrees Celsius, and use, if you have it, a self-cleaning oven setting. And once it's warm, you can spray it with water or vinegar and pour some salt over all of that grime, and then just turn off the oven, close the door, just leave it, and then once it's cool, you can wipe everything off with a damp rag pretty easily.
Great. That's cheaper and doesn't have anywhere near any of these problems. I love that. Nadia, what do you use typically to clean your oven?
I actually don't really use my oven very much, to be honest. I use my stovetop and my dehydrator mostly to prepare my food.
Okay.
But I really like what Janine has suggested, and
yeah,
if I needed to,
idea.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. All right. And body products?
Body products is one of the things that we really forget about because, again, it's that smell factor and then also the texture that we want these things to make our hair look beautiful, to make our skin soft. And so we really want to look into things like lotions, shampoos, sunscreen, toothpaste, soaps, makeup, and the list goes on because these can cause skin allergies and it can also enter the bloodstream. And so a good mantra or a good saying to think is that if you wouldn't eat it, don't put it on your skin.
Right, I mean, because it's going right into your bloodstream. Anything you put on your skin goes right into your bloodstream. Not everything you eat goes into your bloodstream, but everything
exactly.
you put on your skin does.
Exactly.
So,
and so I used to sometimes I would put honey on my face and I would have a friend say, oh, that's so gross. And I would just laugh because... I'm thinking these chemical products, like, oof, that's, I think, a bit worse.
Yeah.
So I think it's just important to remember that it does, it's going to go into your body.
Right. And so Nadia, what, as far as lotions and shampoos and sunscreens and also moisturizers, what are some of your favorite strategies?
So this is something that a topic I really enjoy talking about. Over the last several years, I've tried to replace everything with things that are natural, and I'll tell you, it is really, really nice not to be dependent on store-bought products. It feels very freeing, and it also saves you a ton of money. So everything I do now is very, very simple. I use coconut oil for a moisturizer. If I don't have coconut oil when I'm traveling sometimes and I haven't brought any oil with me, I'll simply go to a restaurant and ask them if I can have a small amount of olive oil. And I'll just take that back up to my hotel room, put a little bit of lavender essential oil in it, and that's a wonderful moisturizer. Shampoos, I don't use any shampoo or conditioner in my hair at all anymore. I just really use apple cider vinegar and water. And toothpaste, we're gonna talk more about this as we move forward, so I won't go too much into it now. But I make all my own toothpaste, makeup, everything.
Okay, great. All right. And shampoos and soaps? Janine?
Yeah, so shampoos and soaps, they should clean us and not introduce more toxins into our system. And so, for example, for your shampoo, I use sometimes baking soda. You can just sprinkle it in dry, and then you can just rinse it out. And then it does wonders. And I think for me, the hardest thing was the lather and the bubbles, and there's whole marketing strategies to get you to really get sucked into that. So I also use a lot more things from the kitchen and just brought them into the bathroom to kind of make the transition easier. And so for your skin, just look into your kitchen and see what you have. If you have salts, if you have baking soda, if you have honey, oats, it's delicious, and you can put it on your face and your body, and it's completely safe. And one of the best things to do before you even get into the shower is to start with dry brushing. And that gets off a lot of the dead skin. It gets off a lot of the dirt. So by the time you get into the shower, you're pretty much already clean. And again, oils. Castor oil with olive oil, it actually extracts dirt from the skin, and it leaves the skin really glowing. So it's like a mini spa treatment. So you can just make a mixture of about 10% castor oil and then 90% olive oil and rub it into your skin, and then take a hot towel with water, and then you can wipe it off. And the whole thing takes a few minutes, and it feels like a mini spa treatment. So, yeah, it's great.
Okay. I just have two questions. First, with the castor oil and with olive oils in general, it's important to have oils that are, you know, that are cold pressed and unrefined.
Do you
use castor oil at all, Nadia?
I have. I've done exactly what Janine just suggested, and she is right. It feels like a spa treatment. It is beautiful on your skin. It does leave your skin glowing.
Now, how do you differentiate?
And if you put some lavender, it's amazing.
Right.
Is it? Okay, great. How do you differentiate between good castor oil and, you know, just the low-grade chemical castor oil that you would kind of put in your car or something?
You buy it from a good source. So research where you're buying it from. Okay. I buy mine from a health food store.
All right, yeah. So just remember, when you're buying oils to put on your body, it's the same principle. You want it to be cold-pressed, unrefined, and as natural as possible. Now, you, the dry brushing also, Janine, I have a question about that. Can you tell us about what dry brushing is?
So you want to get a natural bristle brush. You can usually pick them up really cheaply in a natural health food store or pretty much anywhere. And you always want to brush upward, but it really helps. It helps many things. It helps the lymphatic system, and it helps to get that top layer of dead skin cells, so it makes your skin really, really soft. It's great for circulation. It helps wake you up. There's 101 things that dry brushing can help. It can also help with cellulite. It also can, for example, if you're cold and you start with dry brushing, it can really get your circulation going as well, so it can start to even warm you up. So it's just a great way to start the day.
Excellent. And conditioners? Let's talk about that.
Conditioners? So I remember my mother, who had hair down to her hips back in the 70s, and she said that once a week she would put mayonnaise and egg whites in her hair. And this was before the surge of all of these commercial conditioners, all of them came onto the market. And that's what she used. And so we really knew how to make our hair soft and shiny. And it wasn't through chemicals. It was through natural products. And so what happens is that every time that we use these harsh shampoos, we're stripping our hair of all of its natural oils. So then we need the conditioner to put in the natural oils that we've taken out. So the best thing to do is if you just cut the process full stop, then your hair will produce its natural oils, and then it will also naturally condition. And like Nadia said, that if you just use vinegar and water, it leaves your hair actually really shiny as well. It's great.
That's, I love that. That makes so much sense. Nadia, what do you do for conditioners?
All I do is, right now, all I do is apple cider vinegar and water. So when I first took myself, it was 2 years ago when I stopped using store-bought shampoos and conditioners. And when I first stopped, I would use a little bit of baking soda, like Janine has put here on the slide, baking soda with water as a wash, and then apple cider vinegar and water as a rinse. I did that for about a month, and then after that I stopped baking soda, and now I just use apple cider vinegar. It does take some time for your hair to get used to. Your hair has to detox as well from all the chemicals you've been using, so it takes some time for your body to rebalance and to relearn again how to create the right amount of oils. But after it does that, your hair is amazingly manageable and soft and glowing and shiny.
So you don't find that you need any kind of conditioner at all then?
Nope. For 2 years now, I haven't used anything except apple cider vinegar and water, and my hair has been the best that it's ever been in my entire life.
Wow. That's awesome. This is really good information. So Janine, what about sunscreens? This is a really big topic because sunscreens are usually loaded with toxins.
Yes, this is a hot topic. The question is to slather or not to slather, because there's this big cancer scare that if we don't use sunscreen, that we're going to get cancer. And then the flip side is if we do use sunscreen, will it cause cancer? And so there's definitely opinions on both sides of this topic. So I just want to make sure that people understand that there are definitely benefits and also dangers to using sunscreen. So there's just some things to think about before, if you decide to purchase sunscreen, that what else can you do to protect your skin naturally? So we do need vitamin D for a strong immune system, and what some people can actually do is they can use sunscreen too much, and vitamin D cannot penetrate whenever you have sunscreen on. So sunscreen is not always the answer. And so the best way to go is see if you can find natural sunscreens, organic sunscreens, and then also to protect your skin from the inside out. So to choose foods like cacao, blueberries, oranges, watermelon, stewed tomatoes, carrots, spinach, apricots, fish, orange, and yellow peppers. And so the reason for this is that these foods are full of antioxidants and carotenoids and lycopene, and these really protect our skin from the sun.
Right, because it's the antioxidants and our natural immunity that is our best defense against skin cancer, wouldn't you say?
Exactly.
Yeah, it really is a very controversial topic. I know what Dr. Joseph Mercola does a lot of research on it. I think he wrote a whole book about it. And what he said is that store-bought sunscreens, that there's different types of radiation that comes from the sun. A certain band of radiation produces vitamin D, and a certain band of radiation actually produces the mutations that cause problems. He says that most sunscreens filter out the bands that help produce vitamin D and allow in the bands that cause mutations. It's like the worst case scenario. And then the toxins on the sunscreen, when they interact with the sun, can cause mutations that can lead to cancer because they're just so toxic. So it's a really, really, as you say, a hot topic, a very controversial topic. I know what we use typically here, because the sun is very, very strong here, is we use just plain zinc oxide. What do you think of that?
I think zinc oxide is a great way to go. I think one of the issues is that it's really hard to rub it into the skin. It's quite white. But again, I think also limiting sun exposure in general and making sure that you are covered with clothes and to get enough sun to absorb the vitamin D that your body needs. And then besides that, to make sure that you're out of the direct sun.
Yeah, there's a balance to it. There's a lot of benefits in being in the sun, as you say, because it produces vitamin D. So there is definitely a balance to that, and we need vitamin D. Vitamin D is one of the most essential things to losing weight because it reduces inflammation, and makes your cells more sensitive to fat regulating hormones like leptin and insulin. So we definitely do need sun. There's no question about it. It's just a balance. So Nadia, how do you balance out that, you know, the need for sun, the importance of sunscreen? What's your take on that?
So my take on the sun is that it is extremely vital and necessary. It supports all life on the planet, including human beings. So it is really, really important to make sure that you are getting some sun on your naked body. So that means in your eyes without sunglasses, without contact lenses, and on your skin without any cosmetics or sunscreens. So you do want to get some of that sun into you. But just like everything else, you want to keep it in balance, and you don't want to overdo it, just like anything else you're intaking. So Janine mentioned this already, just make sure that you're getting enough sun that is adequate for your body type. So if you know that you're of a body type that doesn't require as much sun or you burn very easily, then get out of the sun before that happens. Cover your skin up with clothing, get into the shade. And then like Janine also mentioned, you know, make use of those foods. Those foods are very, very protective, and that's what I do as well. I eat those foods a lot when I'm going to be out in the sun, when summer is approaching. And I actually don't use any sunscreen. I just do what I said about getting as much sun as I need and using the foods to protect myself. My husband uses sunscreen, and for him, we will buy a natural sunscreen where we know what all the ingredients are.
Hmm. Okay, great. So Janine, let's talk about deodorants and antiperspirants if we can.
So this is definitely a sensitive subject because obviously we don't want body odor, so we need to find a solution for that. And unfortunately, the solution that we have currently found with these commercial deodorants and antiperspirants is that they're finding more and more connections between antiperspirants and cancer. Now, I'm not going to say that they directly cause cancer, but there's definitely more and more correlations linking the two together. So it's better to be safe than sorry, in my opinion. And yeah. So what happens is that our armpits it's one of the biggest places that we sweat, and this helps eliminate the toxins from our body. So if we're plugging that up, we're really not allowing the toxins to escape our body. So we're disrupting this process, and we're making the rest of our body work even harder. And because it's clogging our lymphatic system, which is very vital to drain toxins. And so, I mean, the simplest thing is that having a cleaner diet, you will have less need for deodorants. Since I've started eating cleaner, I've noticed that even in the summer, it's not as necessary for me to use them. And there's other products that you can use that I'm sure Nadia can talk more about.
Yeah. So Nadia, obviously essential oils would probably be great for something like as a deodorant. What do you think?
Yeah, something that we do a lot is a little bit of coconut oil, of essential oil in there. We like to use lavender or something called ylang ylang essential oil, and just one drop in a tiny bit of coconut oil, and that's what we use as a deodorant when we need it. But like Janine said, you know, the cleaner your diet is, the less your body will have a foul odor, and the less you'll need to use anything. The other thing that we also find really helpful is dry skin brushing. So getting dry skin brushing and keeping the skin healthy helps with all of that.
Okay. I get, I can be a little bit lazy sometimes, so I end up getting products from the health food store, and I use a citrus deodorant that's, essential oils of citrus and mostly all natural ingredients. I find it works fabulous. You know, you feel fresher than when you just, it's just a typical deodorant.
Yeah, I like those as well. I definitely use those as well whenever I feel it's going to be a tough day.
Yeah. Okay. And so toothpaste is obviously a big one because we're putting this right in our mouth. Let's face it. I mean, that's...
Right. So I was definitely investigating a lot about toothpaste because this is another kind of hot topic which a lot of people can disagree about. But I just wanted to read a quote that's on a lot of toothpaste, and it says that if you accidentally swallow more than used for brushing, seek professional help or contact a poison control center immediately.
That's really scary.
Yeah, quite scary. So one of the best things to remember is that our diet, it creates our teeth and our gums. So the best thing that we can do to hinder cavities and to have good hygiene, mouth hygiene, is to limit the sugar intake that we have and to just cut out soda completely. It's one of the worst things that you can do for your teeth.
Right. Right. Okay. So, and you've got a recipe here for a DIY toothpaste.
Nadia, do you want to talk about that one?
Sure. This I've experimented with a lot of different tooth cleaner toothpaste recipes, and this is the one that we love the most. So it's actually more of a tooth soap, a liquid tooth soap rather than a paste. And you combine 8 drops of tea tree oil, 14 drops of peppermint essential oil. I've also used cinnamon bark essential oil, which is very, very nice, 2 teaspoons Castile soap, and you combine all of that into a glass dropper bottle, a 1-ounce glass dropper bottle, and then just fill it up to water with the top, fill it up with water almost to the top. This works beautifully on your toothbrush. It gives you the bubbles that people are used to, the kind of sudsy effect, and it cleans beautifully.
Okay, now the Castile soap. Again, I'm not familiar with it. I know a lot of people listening are not going to be familiar with it.
Okay.
What else can we use other than that? Do you have any thoughts on that? And what happens if we don't use it?
Okay, so the Castile soap, the reason that it's nice in the soap, in the tooth soap, is because it gives you the sudsy effect, which is something that most of us are used to having. But like Janine mentioned before, you don't need suds in order to be clean. That's just something that a marketing campaign has led us to believe. So you can clean with a little bit. You can put, instead of Castile soap, you can put a tiny bit of coconut oil into this mixture, and just be aware that it's not going to suds up in your mouth, but it will clean. So it's the action of using the solution on your toothbrush and having that nice gentle stroke downwards on each tooth that's going to clean rather than the suds necessarily.
Okay, so if we can get our head around the fact that we don't need suds, then we don't have to go out and look for this Castile soap, basically. We can take the same recipe, put a little bit of coconut oil, and we're good to go. Is that the idea?
Yeah, try with 1 teaspoon of coconut oil in this recipe and see how you go with that. And then another really, really simple thing you can do is just baking soda and sea salt. It's just a powder. Yeah. Sprinkle a little bit of that on your toothbrush. Again, it's not going to suds, but it really, really cleans and whitens your teeth.
Okay. All right. Listen, we're getting a lot of great questions specifically about the topic that we're talking about. So I'm wondering if we can bring Dan in and see if she can ask us some of those questions.
Hi, I'm here. Hi, everybody.
Okay.
Hi. Yep. Can you hear me okay? Hi. Yep. Lulu asks regarding the whole issue of skin protection from the sun. She says, isn't the best idea to prevent skin cancers to build up a tan slowly so the skin never burns?
Well, I think that's a great idea, yeah. I mean, as I said, Dr. McCullough recommends you spend 10 minutes in the sun, up to 15 minutes in the sun a day. But, yeah, building up is the best. You do not want to burn. You want to just gently expose yourself to the sun and build up over time. I think that's a great idea. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, definitely. It's a transition, a gentle transition for your body. So if you're not used to getting a lot of sun, if you've been using sunscreens most of the time, you want to gently get your body out in the sun and just build up that time slowly.
Yeah. Okay. Dan?
Anne asks, what about the Aveda products? They focus on natural products. Are the shampoos, lotions, etc. okay? Also, I have extremely oily skin, and the thought of putting more oil on it kind of bothers me.
Mm. Okay. Janine, do you have any thoughts on that?
About the Aveda products, I always just try to say read the labels and to make sure that it's 100%, because a lot of times, and I'm not quite sure with this particular brand, however, a lot of times they might say something like 100% natural scent or 100% natural ingredients, but it doesn't mean all of the ingredients. So you just always want to make sure to read the ingredients to make sure that it's 100% natural.
That's go ahead, I'm sorry.
Sorry, that's okay. And then the second question was, what was the second question?
If you have oily skin, is it
I thought the same thing because I'm prone to breakouts as well. And actually, if you use the castor oil, it actually has a drying effect. And so depending on your skin, so for example, if you have more oily skin, you can use 20% castor oil and 80% olive oil. And then it won't make your skin more oily. After you wipe it all off, it'll feel really, really soft. And because you're giving the skin the oils that it needs, your skin will start to adjust, naturally adjust, so that it doesn't need to overproduce oil, because it seems that your skin is overproducing oil. So if we can give it what it needs, it won't need to do that anymore. So I was definitely afraid of using oil on my skin, but now I don't use anything else.
Okay. Great.
Thank you.
Jen?
What about the crystal deodorants? Nandan asks that question.
Okay. Nadia, what do you think of those?
I use those, and I find them to be quite nice. I have been I've read some recent research saying that you want to make sure that there isn't any aluminum contained within them, and the ones that we use don't have that. So they are quite nice. Another thing that I've used along that same line is just a salt rock, which is just exactly what it says, just a salt rock, and we've used that as well, which has been really nice.
Okay, cool. Dan?
We've had a couple of questions about coloring your hair for some of us who are going gray. What would you recommend?
Any thoughts on that? Janine or Nadia?
I don't have somebody. I would say henna, but I'm not. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, I've heard of henna. I actually really like my gray hair, so I'm enjoying letting that happen naturally.
You don't have that much gray hair, Nadia.
Not yet. And I'm okay if more comes. But something that I'd like to share is one of my herbal teachers shared this with me, and she had people drink nettle infusion. So nettle is a green plant that grows everywhere in the world. You can buy dry nettles, and you can infuse that in water to make a nettle tea. And she has told me that people that drink nettle tea have gotten their color back in their hair, and she's seen it happen with many, many people. So just an idea to throw out there. Yeah. And nettles are very, very nutritious anyway, so you're getting a lot of benefits.
Okay. I'm going to give that a try, Nadia, and I'll report back to you.
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah. Okay. So but basically, henna is really the best solution if you want to color your hair naturally. Is that it?
Yeah, at this time, I think so.
Okay. All right. Dan?
Will baking soda or apple cider vinegar remove henna coloring?
This I'm not sure.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
Don't know. Good question, though. Okay, Dan?
Nancy wants to know if you could talk about mouthwash.
Okay.
We use a lot of natural mouthwashes in our home that I make, and one of the ones that we use every day is sea salt in water. And so you just put about in about an 8-ounce glass, maybe about a tablespoon of sea salt, and you let the salt dissolve in the water, and that's something that you can use as a mouthwash, a mouth gargle. Really, really nice, really helps to keep your mouth healthy. It cleans, it fights bacteria in your mouth and bad breath. Another thing that we use is the same amount of water with one drop of peppermint essential oil. And this is really nice because it gives you that nice fresh taste in your mouth as well after.
Okay. And Janine, do you have any ideas on that?
I actually also gargle with salt water. And then also sometimes I do oil pulling, which is not necessarily a mouthwash, but it's where you put usually a high-quality sesame seed oil, or you can also use coconut oil, and you swish it in your mouth for about 20 minutes. It's a different process, but it really sucks out a lot of bacteria, and it's actually quite relaxing after you get used to it.
Right.
It is. I agree with Janine. I've done that. I do that every morning, and it's wonderful.
Okay.
And just something to point out, too, about the mouthwashes that are on the market, they really upset the balance, the healthy balance of your mouth. They contain a lot of alcohol, and there's an environment, a pH environment in your mouth that is healthy, and there's a specific reason for that pH environment, and store-bought mouthwashes tend to really upset that, and that's when a lot of problems can occur.
That's really interesting. That actually, I didn't know that, but now that I think about that, that makes total sense. Okay, Dan?
A lot of people are asking if you could spell that tea, or spell out
Nettles.
The name of that tea. Yeah,
nettle.
Is it nettle? Double T. Yeah.
N-E-double-T-L-E.
Okay, thank you. What if, Babette asks, what if you have really oily hair that needs washing every day?
Again, for example, for my skin, because it was really oily, I thought I couldn't put oil in it. And the same thing is happening with your scalp. So it's overproducing oil because we're stripping it of its natural oils. So it's kind of a reactive thing that your hair is doing, your scalp is doing. So when you start to get off shampoos and conditioners, there is definitely a transition period and your hair can feel a bit more oily, but it will find its natural balance, and then it won't need to overproduce because you're not constantly stripping it of its natural oils.
That makes sense. Okay, then.
Yeah. Leslie has asked Nadia if she could repeat the recipe for the toothpaste with sea salt, just quickly.
The toothpaste with sea salt was that was, I mentioned, baking soda and sea salt. So you can use equal amounts. Equal amounts of baking soda to sea salt, and just keep it in its powder form, and then in its powder form, sprinkle a little bit on your toothbrush, and then brush.
So okay, it's okay simple. To store it. You could store it in a glass jar or something. Make up a batch and
just
store it.
Yes. Yeah, store it dry and keep it dry, and that'll last for a very, very long time.
You know, as I'm listening to this, you know, if you do this right, you're able to save a fortune in cleaning products. Is that,
yes,
is that right?
I mean, that's definitely.
That's really what I'm hearing. I mean, we're about to talk about makeup. That's a big one. But when you talk about lotions and skin and shampoos and all cleaning products throughout the house,
right?
Soaps,
and,
shampoos,
you know,
conditioners. These things really add up.
They do, and the companies out there, they've conditioned us to believe that we need a different product for every single thing. So we need a different moisturizer for our face, a different one for our hands, a different one for our feet, a different cleaner for our kitchen, a different cleaner for our bathroom. And it really, really is. And it's just marketing. It's really not true.
Okay, cool. All right, well then, Dan, I'm going to bring you back in just a little bit, in a little while, and talk about a big topic which people spend a lot of money on, which is makeup.
It's a big industry. So I think the most important is that if you don't want to get rid of all of your makeup all at once, the most important thing is to think about is what you put on your mouth. So that includes lipsticks and lip glosses. And makeup is supposed to be used to enhance our beauty and not to destroy it. And unfortunately, a lot of these makeups are destroying our skin, and internally and externally. And so they're finding more and more that many lipsticks are containing traces of lead still. Even in 2013, it still has lead. And then they're also finding that they're containing as many as 8 other types of metals, from cadmium to aluminum in lipsticks. So it's something to definitely look into, to see what you're purchasing and the ingredients in what we're putting in on our mouths.
Right. The other point is that, you know, a lot of makeup we use to create this healthy appearance of a healthy skin, healthy glow. But why not just really have that healthy skin and healthy glow, which is by eliminating all these toxins, you're going to have the healthy skin and the healthy glow, and you're not going to need as much makeup. But do you agree with that?
That's a really, really good point. I think that I've gone through phases where I've decided not to use makeup and to use my own, what I see in the mirror, as my personal reflection of my health. So if I have bags under my eyes, what does that mean? Maybe I need more sleep. So your skin is sending you signals all the time of how to take care of yourself. And it's you can listen to it or you can just cover it up. And so I think it's a really good thing to slowly just listen to, how do I have a nice rosy glow? How do I have clean skin and clear skin? Those types of questions.
Right. And what I typically find anytime I've ever done a cleanse like this is people invariably say after I'm done, when I see them, wow, you look really great. What's happening? You know, you look really good. I would just say to people, everyone listening out there, you might want to check after the cleanse is over and see what people are saying to you, because I'm sure a lot of people are going to be saying, wow, you know, you got a great glow about your skin, you got a beautiful smile, healthy. They're going to be saying these things, and these are the things that we always try to look for with whenever we use makeup. Do you agree, Nadia?
Yeah, that's one of the most common things I notice when people do a cleanse, is that their skin glows and their eyes become really, really bright.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So let's talk about cookware for a minute.
So cookware is something that we forget about. And I think that, for example, cooked food can be contaminated by the very means you use to cook and store food. So, for example, if we bake using aluminum, and we heat that, the aluminum can then possibly enter the food, and then that enters our body. So even if we're trying to cook on low heat or use low temperatures to not corrupt the food, we still might be contaminating the food with what we cook with. So the best thing to do is to try to avoid cookware that has Teflon and nonstick, so it's PFOA, and then anything with aluminum and anodized aluminum and cast aluminum. Aluminum, just in general, we should stay away from.
Yeah.
And the best alternative is stainless steel or ceramic cookware. And for women who are not menopausal, they can also use cast iron.
Mm. Well, what about for men? Can men use cast iron?
So the idea with cast iron is it's definitely great to use. However, iron is one of the few minerals that our body cannot eliminate except through blood loss.
Mm-hmm.
So for adult men and for menopausal women, usually they cannot lose the iron. It's constantly in their body. So if you constantly are using a cast iron skillet, for example, you can start to get an overload of iron, and that can cause some quite strange symptoms. So in general, we say that you can use it in moderation, but in general, to avoid it unless you are a woman between around 16 years old and 45, 50.
Right. Okay. And Nadia, what are your favorite types of cookware?
We use stainless steel.
Yeah.
Stainless steel or glass.
And why is stainless steel so good? I would have thought that iron or cat or ceramic would be better. What is it about stainless steel?
Ceramic is great too, I think. It's just stainless steel is just the one that we have used. And
okay.
I don't think it's any better than ceramic. It's just the one that we've used in our home.
Okay.
I use ceramic, and I think ceramic's also great. I think that one of the things, though, is that the ceramic can start to chip, and it can wear down faster, and I think stainless steel is it can be used for a longer period of time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's talk about plastics with BPA.
So BPA, I think we've all heard about BPA. It's become a new hot word. Plastics have slowly come into our lives, and now they are ever present in every facet of our lives, and it's something that we almost no longer think about. And so how you store your food is important. So for storing foods and spices that come in plastic packaging, I recommend that you immediately transfer them into glass containers or jars. And if you're storing leftovers or water, to always choose glass or BPA-free plastic. And the reason is just because more and more they're seeing that this BPA is leaking into our food. And if you do own a microwave, if you do use one, although it's not highly recommended, that to never heat food in a microwave using a plastic container.
Right. So one thing about BPA that they found is that we talked about this in the beginning, the concept of an endocrine disruptor. Disruptor means that it alters your hormonal balance. So BPA mimics sometimes estrogen, and what that, but it's not, it can cause, it's not like what considered the healthy type of estrogen. And what it'll do is, for men, it'll cause problems for their natural masculine balance, and for both men and women, it'll increase insulin resistance, which will elevate your insulin levels and cause your body to gain weight. So it's a serious issue, not just because of it, that it's a toxic and it's more accumulated toxins. It's also a serious issue because specifically BPA can cause you to gain weight.
Exactly.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about some non-toxic alternatives.
So luckily, this is becoming more of a trend. To go green is becoming more of a trend. So more non-toxic home and bath products are more available in local grocery stores. So if you don't want to go the more homemade route, you can definitely find non-toxic alternatives in the store. So you want to look for brands that have that don't have any unnatural fragrances, chlorine, phosphates, or fillers. You want to look for things that say green or non-toxic cleaners. However, you want to be cautious with those because sometimes those can be marketing ploys as well. So you always want to look at the ingredients. And you don't want to purchase anything that has chlorine, alcohols, triclosan, trichlorocarbon, lye, glycol, ethers, ammonia, and to choose safer products that say petroleum-free, biodegradable, phosphate-free, VOC-free, and solvent-free.
Also, I'd add to that SLS, sodium lauryl sulfate, which is the sudsing agent in shampoos.
Yes, and that is in almost all of the products. And so that's one of the biggest ones that is hard to get away from. And a lot of these are actually even in the quote-unquote healthier alternatives. And
so that's basically because we bought into the fact that this idea, not the fact, this idea that suds somehow equal clean. Is that right? Because that's what sodium lauryl sulfate is. It's a sudsing agent.
Exactly. That's all it really does. And yeah. So I've definitely found it quite difficult to find quote-unquote green products without this ingredient. And so that's why I've also gone the route that Nadia has to make my own things and to kind of get away from this whole sudsing event.
Exactly. Okay, so let's talk about some inexpensive DIY alternatives. We've been talking about that all through the webinar. But I just think this is a great topic because, to me, it's the ultimate bang for the buck. You're saving money, you're saving your body. Everybody wins with this, and you're still able to clean. So what are some of your favorites?
My basic for everything is baking soda and vinegar. I use it to clean the kitchen. I use it in the shower. I use it to clean everything, and it works so amazing, and I can't believe that we forgot that this even existed, and it's so extremely cheap. And so, like you said, you save so much money. You also save a lot of plastic because, like Nadia was saying, that we don't need a different product for every different need. We just need a few products, and this will eventually just save lots of plastic as well. So it's better for the environment. It's better for your pocketbook, and it's better for your body. It's so great, and then you just add a couple of essential oils, and you're set.
Right. So, and Nadia, is this pretty similar to your all-purpose cleaner?
Yeah, definitely. I use baking soda and vinegar for a lot of things around the home with some essential oils. There's something that I think in the next slide, there's something that I've used just this past year that I'll speak about when we get to the next slide an all-purpose cleaner.
We're there.
So here we are. This is an all-purpose spray cleaner that I've just started using this past year. It's so easy and simple to make. You basically, there's only two ingredients. It's thyme, the herb thyme, and vinegar, white vinegar. So if you've got fresh thyme, you want to fill your jar, a glass jar, up to the top. If you've got dry thyme, and this is just the thyme that you can buy in the grocery store in the spice aisle, or thyme that you can dry yourself from your garden. If it's dry, fill your glass jar up halfway. And then top it up with white vinegar and let it sit. Let it sit for anywhere from up to a day to 2 weeks. The vinegar will turn a beautiful pink color. And when you're finished letting it infuse, strain out the thyme. You can compost the thyme. And then that infused vinegar that's nice and pink now, put that in a spray bottle. And it's got a beautiful, beautiful aroma. And you can use that to clean just as an all-purpose cleaner for countertops, for your sink, for the top of your toilet, for your floor, for so many things you can use it for.
Excellent. Okay. All right. So let's bring Dan in because we're still getting a lot of really good questions and try to answer as many questions as we can.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi. Mary asks, both white vinegar and apple cider vinegar are mentioned on your slides. What is the difference between them? Are they interchangeable? And if not, when should each be used?
Nadia, do you want to talk about that in terms of from a cleaning perspective?
From a cleaning perspective, you can apple cider vinegar will work, but you can also just stick with white vinegar. White vinegar is much cheaper. It doesn't cost as much. And when you're cleaning, it's very, very effective. Apple cider vinegar is certainly what I would recommend for internal use, raw organic apple cider vinegar. But for cleaning, you can use that as, if you want, but it does cost a bit more. So white vinegar will be very, very effective for cleaning.
Okay. Ben?
Helen asks, what are the proportions of baking soda and vinegar that you mentioned before?
Okay, Janine?
For me, when I'm cleaning, I guess it also depends on what you're cleaning. Typically, I just sprinkle on some baking soda, and then I spray with vinegar, and then it starts to react together, and then I just wipe it down. And so, for example, in the sink, sometimes it gets a little bit dirtier, and so sometimes I'll just sprinkle in some baking soda and then the vinegar, and it'll react. You just let it sit for a little bit, and then you can just wipe it away. I'm not too careful about the proportions. I just try, because, for example, you can just use vinegar alone. So if you use them together, it also works. So I'm not too, I don't necessarily need to think too much about the quantities of each one. I don't know if Nadia, okay. Do you have another perspective?
What do you say, Nadia?
Actually, Janine, that's exactly what I do. I sprinkle on the baking soda, or I put the vinegar on first and then sprinkle the second ingredient on after it and let it suds up. It's just to remind or to let people know that this isn't something that you're mixing ahead of time. So the vinegar and the baking soda, they have a reaction where they foam up and they suds up, but you want to do it at the time of cleaning, actually in the sink or the tub. If you mix it ahead of time, that sudsing action will happen, and then it will go flat. So it's
Good
not
point.
Something that you mix ahead of time and keep.
Okay. Cool.
Susan wants to know what suggestions there are for lipstick replacement.
If I can jump in, there's something that I've made and I've used for the last several years, and it's using alkanet root. So that's A-L-K-A-N-E-T. It's a really nice root of a plant that has a nice red color, and you can infuse that into olive oil, and it makes a really, really beautiful red, deep red, gorgeous color. And I've made a cream out of that that I use for a lip gloss, lipstick. I also use it as a blusher, as an eye color.
Are there other ingredients when you make the cream?
So when I make the cream, then it's the alkanet root with olive oil, and I put a little bit of lavender essential oil in there, and then beeswax is the binder that keeps it together in a cream consistency.
Wow. And where do we get this alkanet?
I bought it from any herbal store, any health food store. You can order it online from herbal stores.
Okay. Cool. And Janine, what are your thoughts on lipstick?
For lipstick, I found this natural clay. I believe it comes from the Mideast, and they can sell it in like these little Arabic shops, and it's just this natural piece of clay, and it has this natural pigment on it. And if you wet your finger and then you rub it, it turns this bright red. It's quite beautiful, and you just put it on your lips, and it more stains the lips versus it's not like a cream, and so it can stay on for quite a long time. And so it's part of the earth, and so it's a natural pigment.
Okay. And what's the clay called?
I'm actually not quite sure. It's just something that I picked up, and it lasts a really, really long time.
I'm sure people will be asking.
I just kind of bite my lips a little bit to just put a little bit of pigment in them.
Yeah. Okay, but I'm sure people will ask, so maybe tomorrow.
I'll look it up for everyone, and I can post it.
Okay, great. Jen?
Thank you. Lucia asks, if you have high blood pressure, can you still have the salt and water mouthwash because of the salt?
Yeah, I wouldn't see why not, but Nadia, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, you're making sure that you use sea salt. So there's a big difference between natural sea salt and iodized refined salt, which can cause a lot more health problems in the body. And exactly. You're not swallowing the salt water gargle. You're simply just swishing it around in your mouth. So some does get absorbed, but you aren't swallowing it. You're swishing it around in your mouth, gargling, and then spitting it out.
Yeah. And sea salt is good for you. It's got essential nutrients, essential minerals, which we all need. Okay, Dan?
Right.
Kim wants to know if you could address the use of and alternatives for the alcohol or antibacterial gels that are used when out and about, you know, and you want to wash your hands.
Okay. Janine, do you have any thoughts on that or Nadia, either one?
I actually don't because I don't use that, so I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
Maybe Nadia would know.
Yeah, I have actually made one. And the reason we made it is because my husband worked in the public with a lot of people, and he was finding that it was something he wanted to use. So what I've done is I've just mixed some of those good quality oils that we've talked about, tea tree essential oil, lavender essential oil, peppermint essential oil. These have very, very high antibacterial properties to them. So you can mix them together in a very small 1 ounce spray bottle that you can get, just about, I would say about in a half ounce spray bottle, about 15 drops of tea tree, 5 drops of lavender, 5 drops of peppermint, top it up with good quality water, and then you'll have to give it a shake each time you want to use it to mix up the oils and the water, and then spray it on your hands and rub it just like you would those other hand sanitizers.
Excellent. Okay. Dan?
Marisol wants to know, are essential oils for scent purposes or are they necessary for the cleaning properties as well?
Nadia?
So vinegar has a lot of cleaning properties to it. So if you're using vinegar as a cleaner, you don't necessarily need to add essential oils. Essential oils will boost the cleaning property and they'll add a really nice scent. But if you don't have them or you don't want to use them, vinegar by itself is an amazing cleaner.
Okay, great. Dan?
I'm starting to get a few questions about the actual reaction to the cleanse at the moment, but there's a few more here. Roma wants to know a recipe for making the liquid soft soap for hand washing, if possible.
So all we do for that in our home is we use, again, that Castile soap that we've mentioned before, which is a vegetable oil-based soap, and I put a tiny amount of that in the bottom of my bottle, fill the rest up with water, and then I'll just add some essential oils. Peppermint and lavender essential oils is the preferred ones that we use in our home. Shake it up, and that's what we use for hand soap.
Okay. Dan, let's take those questions about the cleanse reaction, because we are running out of time, and I want to make sure we cover all those. Any other questions that we don't cover or that we don't answer as far as detoxing your home, we'll answer online. So go ahead, Dan.
Babette has said, the thought of another juice is making me feel really ill. Also find the coconut oil really heavy to drink and my stomach doesn't like it. I've only had one juice this morning and have been drinking lots of water. Should I force more juice down just for the nutrients?
It's a great question. Answer is no. Do not drink any more juices than you want, period. End of story. Do not take any more oil than you want. Your body will tell you what it needs to cleanse and detoxify. So do not push yourself in any way, shape, or form. Nadia, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah. Okay. That's something we should probably post on the member site, just on the schedule too. But Dan, if you want to make a note of that, we'll post that, because I think that's so important. Okay.
Marjan has asked, I'm feeling neck stiffness for a few days now. Worse today. Could this be due to the cleanse?
What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, I definitely think it can. We hold a lot in our neck. A lot of stress is held in our neck, and there's a lot of stiffness that can come from that. So when you're cleansing, a lot can come up and can get stuck in our neck. So I would suggest, try to do some of the yoga movements. You can do some massage on that area. Keep drinking so you keep that flushing movement going. A nice bath might be helpful as well, a nice hot bath.
Yeah. Okay. Dan?
Phyllis wants to know, I finished all but one of my juices and still need to have the broth and the second omega-3 drink. It's 7:30 p.m. What should I do?
Just have what you want. These are guidelines. You don't have to have anything. Do not have anything that you don't want. This, again, I'm just going to remind you, Dan, let's make a note in the schedule in the members area. You don't have to force yourself to adhere to the schedule in any way, shape, or form.
Okay. Anne wants to know, thank you, Anne wants to know how many tablespoons of chia seeds should we consume each day during the program?
1 to 2.
Okay.
But you don't have to. Again, you don't have to if you don't want to, but that's the guideline.
Anne has asked a really, really interesting question. I'm sure a lot of people have thought this. I was so hungry yesterday and had such a bad headache that I ate a bag of lettuce and some chicken. Can I still continue on this cleanse?
Yeah. The answer is absolutely. You can still continue on the cleanse. The first couple of days are the hardest, and you just do what you can do, and anything that you do is going to benefit you. And as Nadia says, you cannot fail in this process. Just keep adding fresh juices, broths, teas, super greens, chia shakes as you can, as you want, and you do what you can do. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah. Again, you can't fail. Do what you can do. Your body will benefit from this week, so you are adding cleansing elements to your life this week, and your body will benefit. Be gentle with yourself and be proud of what you are doing.
Excellent. Okay, Dan?
Lucia has asked, if I'm out longer than I expected, can I have a mixed green salad with olive oil, vinegar, or lemon?
Okay, so that's not part of the cleanse that we're doing, but you can do a cleanse like that, which is called a raw cleanse. And if you want to do that, that's fine. That's not the cleanse that we've outlined, but that you'll still get tremendous benefit. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, that's a very cleansing food, and I agree with what you said. It's not the cleanse that we're doing. Once you eat a salad, it will activate your digestion again, but that's not to say that can't be a good cleanse as well to eat raw foods.
Yeah. Okay. Then?
Michelle's saying, I really can't handle the coconut oil in the tea or the broth. Is there anything else I can do? Can I double up on the chia seeds?
Yes. You can make it your own. With all these things we've outlined as things that will benefit you in your detox, you choose what works best for you. Do you agree, Nadia?
Yeah, make it your own. I like the way you said that. It's just guidelines, what we've given you, suggestions.
Yeah. Okay.
Roma's Green Me Up Johnny hasn't arrived yet. What can she use to substitute?
She can use super greens. If you go to a health food store and you look for just super greens typically are made out of wheatgrass powder, barley greens, other types of greens. They might have some spirulina and some chlorella. You don't want them to have too many types of berries and things like that. Not too many, maybe a little bit is okay. And certainly no sweeteners in it. And they're called super green powders, and you can use those. Okay.
Thank you. Lynn has said, I was unable to concentrate at work and got lost coming home on a drive I've made for 3 years. I'm recovering from adrenal fatigue at the moment. Is this cleanse too much for me?
What do you think, Nadia?
You certainly need to support yourself, and I would make sure that you're having the chia seeds, the hemp seeds, the oil, the omega-3 oils that we've suggested, the super greens. Those are the things that are going to get nutrients into your body. Make sure you're putting sea salt in your water to get those micronutrients into your body, coconut water for the electrolytes. And like John has said, these first couple of days, they are the strongest on the cleanse. They are the times when things feel the most challenging. She might find that if she continues forward by day 3, she might find it a lot easier and things will have calmed down for her.
Yeah.
Okay. Cherise said, last evening before bed, I noticed around my eyes they were mildly puffy. Is this a common symptom? Should I cut down on my fluid intake or move more to drain the lymphatics?
Yeah, no, that is a common symptom of detoxification. Nadia, what do you think?
Yeah, definitely a common symptom. Keep up your fluid intake. I wouldn't suggest reducing your fluid intake. You want to keep that flushing going. And movement is definitely something that can be helpful. So get up and do some of the yoga movements.
Okay, great.
A question like this has been asked before, but I'll ask on behalf of Bianca. I'm experiencing deep muscle pain. Starting the pre-cleanse days, especially in my legs. Could this be related to the detox? And if yes, how long will it take before the pain will recede?
Nadia?
Yeah, this can certainly be related to the cleanse. The toxins are being released at a very deep cellular level. And as they're being released into your bloodstream, into your lymphatic system. They're running through the course of your body before your body can get them to a place where they can be eliminated. So what we're trying to do is support that as much as possible. As this is happening, of course, as Bianca is experiencing, there can be symptoms that aren't so comfortable. So you want to try and alleviate those symptoms by supporting them with massage. So if things are settling in your joints, try massaging those joints. Try moving, so you do the yoga movement so you can move that lymphatic system through your body. A nice hot bath is helpful, hot water bottles. Resting is very, very important. So keep up your liquid intake, and then also make sure you're resting so that your body isn't expending energy on other things and it can take care of what it needs to within your body.
Yeah, and the super greens and the juices both have magnesium, which is really essential for muscles, and that'll help a lot. So make sure you have those. Yeah, okay.
Angela has asked, thanks, John. Angela has asked regarding sending photos in, what's the best address to send these images to?
Yeah, so just send them to help@thegabrielmethod.com. So help, okay. H-E-L-P, at thegabrielmethod.com.
Lucia has asked, how many soaked peeled almonds can I eat a day without compromising the digestion?
Did we talk about soaked? Nadia?
For the pre-cleanse, we were suggesting people have that. For the cleanse, if you eat almonds, you're going to start activating your digestive system again. And during the cleanse, we're trying to give the digestive system a break. So we're trying to hold off on those solid foods and have only liquids this week.
Yes, so that's not something that we specifically recommended that you have for the cleanse period. That's great as a pre-cleanse and as a post-cleanse, but not for the specific five-day cleanse. Okay, then?
Sharon asks, what are the have-tos and what can fall away as you go? And then when and how much of the Green Me Up, Johnny, and are the juice and broth interchangeable?
Okay. Right. Everything is exchangeable. Nothing's a have-to. You just do what you want. At the end, you might just want the water the last couple of days. It's totally up to you. You make it your own. These are all here to things to support you, and there's no wrong answer. The only thing that's wrong is forcing yourself anything in this schedule that you don't want. So everything can drop away. You just totally make it your own. Okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right. We just have a couple of minutes left, Dan, so we'll have to answer the rest of the questions online. So anyone that we didn't answer your question, look online, and we will answer it over the next 24 hours. Dan, thanks very much for all those questions. And we'll just conclude the webinar real quickly because we just have a couple of minutes left. So Janine, let's talk about some strategies for taking action.
Okay, so the most important thing is that we just want to make sure that we don't lose our minds. I think that when I went through this transition, I did too much too fast. And so I definitely recommend that you start with the things that you put in your mouth. So you can keep continuing to use everything else, but to look at what you put in your mouth. So toothpaste, mouthwash, etc. And then if you have done this, then maybe you want to start to focus on things you put on your skin. So makeup, body care, soaps, etc. And then if you want to take it a step further, think about what you're cooking and preparing your food with. And then finally, think about your household cleaners, detergents, and other household chemicals. So just remember that no one is perfect, and to pick your battles one at a time. I would go too far, and then I would backslide. So it was definitely a good experience for me to know that I can only take on one thing at a time. So little by little, I started to accumulate these strategies and recipes and routines, and then little by little became easier.
Right. Okay. Beautiful. And so, Nadia, do you have any other thoughts on the best way to take action?
Remember that improvement is a lifelong task. There's no need to do everything right now. Like Janine said, you know, try not to lose your mind about all of these things. We've given you a lot of information. Go slowly with it and just try and implement things slowly over time and you'll get there.
Excellent advice. And the content in this webinar has been fabulous. Janine, thank you so much for joining us. Janine's joining us from Barcelona, where it's 2:30 in the morning right now, or something like that, some crazy time like that. So thanks for the information. Thanks for being on the webinar with us. I really, really appreciate it. You did an excellent job of putting this together. So thanks.
No problem, Mel. Thank you so much for inviting me to do this with you guys.
My pleasure. And once again, thank you, Nadia, for your excellent information and support.
Thanks, John,
I appreciate
it.
I know everyone else there appreciates it. Den and Shan and Aaron, thank you very much. So everyone, remember just a couple of things. That the first couple of days are the most challenging. Totally make it your own. You don't have to force yourself to do anything, not a chia drink, not a juice, not a super green. You totally make this your own. We're here to give you as much support, and all the different recipes that we have are specifically for that, to give you support over the coming days. Tomorrow's webinar is entitled Move, Sweat, and Breathe. We'll talk about some nice, gentle detoxing strategies for accelerating the process. If you have any questions in the meantime, post them into the site, and we will answer them as soon as possible. Sounds like everyone's doing a wonderful job, and I look forward to speaking with you all tomorrow. So thanks very much. Take care.